Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we all know that God's word works. God's word works. We all know that. But how do you make God's word work? How do you make his word work? We know it works. We know God's word works. We've seen it. You've read testimonies. You've seen testimonies. You've seen it in your own life. You've seen it. His word works. But how can we get to that position where we are proficient at making God's word work every single time? Every single time. Amen. And that's what I'm here to attempt to give an answer to. Three steps. I'll break into three simple steps. Step one, honor. Honor simply means because he has said it, it is done. And that reminds me of, is this C.C. Winer's song? You said, I believe. You said it. It is done. That's it. That's honor. Because he has said it. Because he has said it, it is done. He's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Amen. But then, of course, you live in this body. And then, of course, your mind will want to reason. Your mind will want to reason. But honor simply means, and as Pastor mentioned earlier on, it's of the heart. It's of the heart. So you're not, so reason why his word is not yet working for you is because you're still using your head to try and understand what he has said. No, it's with your heart you receive it. And that's what honor means. Honor means because you have said it. That's it. That's it. Because you have said it. And in that testimony, after the phone call, he said, well, we have to do what the only thing we know how to do. So we're going to turn to God and just praise and worship him. And then he was crying. And he said, God was asking, why are you crying? He said, God, didn't you hear the phone call? Doctor said, my baby's dead. So why are you crying? If you're praising me that your boy is still alive, why are you crying? Unless it is tears of joy. Amen. Honor simply means, once I have found what he has said concerning my situation, that's it. I don't care what the physical circumstance, I don't care what I can see. But because he has said it, it is done. And that really helped Kenneth Copeland, because he was trained to be a pilot. So sitting under Kenneth Hagin's administration, and Ken Hagin was saying these things, you know, you need to put God's word to first place. Whatever God's word has said, it is done. He now turned his word and said, my God, that's what the instrument in that airplane does. Because you might feel the airplane is tilting this way. But if the instrument says it is straight, it is straight. So the training pilots, the training they take pilots through is ignore what your physical senses is telling you what that plane is doing. Focus on that instrument. If the instrument says angle of inclination is five degrees, it is 5 degrees. Whether you feel as if you are going 45 degrees or not, the instrument is saying it's 5 degrees, then it is 5 degrees. And that is what honor simply means. What he has said. Once you have found what he has said, just start rejoicing. But it takes practice. It takes practice because, Sister Peachy said, that night, say, oh God, what did he eat? This is how somebody, is someone after somebody else? My mind was going. I look, my wife has slept. I said, you better sleep. You better. Because we all live in this body. But then, so now, because remember, Jesus said, if that night I open my mouth and say, ha, this boy has gotten this, that's it. But yes, my mind was being bombarded, but I refused to allow it to get into my heart. Because yes, I prayed that prayer every night. But yes, something happened and it shook me a little bit. But I stayed still. Go to prayer, just say no. At first I said, let him come and sleep. slept, come and sleep in my bedroom. He said, why? The boy is fine. Let him go to his room. So, okay, John, go to your room. Then I went back to my room. Turned. I slept. Woke up the next morning. Boy was fine. Amen. Praise God. But that is honor. Yeah. And then in Matthew 6:38, where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. For a very long time, I used to read that, seek ye only the kingdom of God. No, but that's not what he said. He said, seek ye first. And that is honor. Something happens. Yes. Let what he has said be the first place you run to for the information you need. Amen. All right. So that's honor. Step one is honor. Step two, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into all truth. Now, of course, it's two ways. It's either you are reacting to the devil has stuck his head up. He has decided to walk into your life and do something. You want to now come back at him. Either that, or why do we always wait for him to? You know, we can be proactive. That simply means go to God's word. Say, oh, Spirit of God, lead me to portions of scripture that deals with my situation. Portions of scripture that deals with my situation. Lead me to it. Yeah. So step one is honor. Step two, rely on the Spirit of God to lead you to words that you need. And then step three is walk his word. I'll explain that what that means in Proverbs chapter 4. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. What I'll do first is I'll read verses 20 and 22, and then I'll try and break it down. Try and break it down for us. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who give their attention to my word. Is that what your Bible says? For they are life to those who give their attention to my words. Is that what your Bible says? No? Does it say, for they are life to those who incline their ears to my sayings? Is that what your Bible says? No? Oh, okay. For they are life to those who keep them in the midst of their heart. Is that what your Bible says? Is that what your Bible reads? No? Okay. Who wants to shout out what your Bible says? For they are life to those who... There you go. Find. So the reason why the life in God's word hasn't rubbed off in your situation is because you haven't found it. You haven't. Yeah? They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. But it starts with, you give your attention. Now, to attend. So, for example, now, you're in a restaurant, you're at table 7, you have a waiter waiting on you. And then that same waiter maybe has a few other tables. So, you now see her coming. You say, oh, sorry. You call her attention, but you say, oh, sorry, I need to attend to table 8 first before I'll come back to you. That is what attend means. Yeah, you have 101 things going on in your head. But you attend to this one first. You give on purpose. It has to be on purpose. It has to be on purpose. Because at the other end of it, once you have found God's word, it becomes life to you. The answer you are looking for, the solution you need is at the other end of you giving your attention to his word, inclining your ears to his saying. And that simply means, say it out loud. You have, because that's how faith comes. That's how you develop faith. You have to. Now, I did not come up with that. I did not come up with that. That is the way God has wired us. It goes in our eyes. It comes out of our mouth so that you can hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. good illustration. If growing up, they told you snakes are very dangerous. If you see a snake, run. And that's all they kept telling you. The first day you see a snake, what are you going to do? You will run. You will run. But then if you've been told, it's a snake, take your shoe and just whack its head. Make sure you whack his head nice. But the day you see a snake, what would you do? You whack his head. Because that's what you've been hearing. Because one day we went for a prayer meeting in university. My friend was in front. Azubike was in front. I was, you know, a few feet. I just saw him going like this. He had killed the snake. For me, growing up, they call us Emoimbo. Because I grew up outside Nigeria. When I see snake, me, I just run. But Azubike took his shoe out and whacked. Because, you know, he just said, you know, you grew up in the village, you see snake, you kill it. You find it's closest to you, and you just kill it. Yeah. And that's the way you have to keep hearing it over and over and over and over again. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, this one here is dicey, because after a while of you repeating God's word, eventually you lodge it in your memory, and temptation is high for you to now, you know, try and recall from memory and start reciting it from a memory. Don't fall for that temptation. Because Kenneth Copeland gave this illustration. You are very hungry and you are used to eating steak, and you've had very good steaks in your life. You had very deliciously cooked, delicious tasting steak. That point where you're hungry, no memory of the best steak can fill your stomach and give you energy. You have to eat another steak for you to get the energy. And it's the same thing in the spirit. You have to bring it back out. Have it in your eyes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep going back. Why? Well, you have to ask God when you if you see him, please ask him. or the best answer is because it is written. That is the way it works. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Because that is where it belongs. That is where God's word works. In your heart. And for it to get into your heart, one, you have to give it. You have to. Priority number one. Whatever it is you are doing, irrespective of how successful it has been, whatever it is, it can never. Well, there are realms. Yeah, okay, maybe that's what some people did for them to become successful, and it worked for them. But God's word is above that. This is number one. Number one. One day I brought my Bible out in school, and I said, "Sir, you read the Bible?" I said, "Of course, of course." Why do you think I'm a great teacher? You think it's because of the math? Of course, they were confused. They didn't understand where I was coming from. But yes, you give it priority number one. You give it your attention. You incline your ears to it. You do not let it depart from your eyes. You keep it in the midst of your heart. And the purpose is so that you can find. Because until you have found, all you are doing is religion. Until you have found. Because his life is in his word. The answer to your question is in his word. The solution to whatever you are going through is here. But until you have found it, until God's word has gained, indefinite leave to remain in your heart. Indefinite leave to remain in your heart. And light has come and understanding has come. Until then, all you're doing is just making noise. But we know his word works, and we want to work his word. So you do it until you find it. And some of us are experiencing, you say, oh, all of a sudden, That scripture sprang out. Yeah, God has just blessed you with a physical manifestation to bless your persistence and your consistency on His word. Yeah, you keep doing it. You keep doing it because that's the only way. That's the only way it can happen. That's the only way it can happen. And once you found His, once you find it, you find life. Yeah. Jesus put it in a different way. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, this is the way Jesus put it. I'll jump straight to where I need. Where is it? Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to go straight to verse 15. But I'm going to scroll. Well, let me just read the whole of verse 15. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. It's a good thing. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good thing I started from there. What that simply means is, there's a time I'm describing myself. The only time I open my Bible is when I go to church. Because, you know, I was too busy during the week. Their eyes, they have closed. The only time you have time for God's word is when you have time. But that time never comes. Amen. But if you notice, those who have closed their eyes, their ears are hard of hearing. They're no longer hearing God's word, and their hearts grow dull. They become insensitive. Because I hope you know God is always speaking to you. God is always speaking to you. How come I don't hear him? Well, that's between you and God. God is always speaking to you. Imagine, Cain had just killed Abel. And God came and had a conversation. They offered, they brought their offering. God accepted Abel's. Did not accept Cain's. And Cain was, no. God came to have a chat with him. He said, why are you looking? Why do you have a long face? And then even after he had killed his brother, God still came to talk to him. By having your eyes closed, meaning you have no time for God's word. Your ears are hard of hearing. Your heart eventually become dull, insensitive to God. However, he then says, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. So the purpose of you attending to God's word, inclining your ears, not letting it depart from your eyes, keeping it in the midst of your heart, is so that you can understand. Jesus says, lest they should understand. So, you are keeping it in front of your eyes. Yeah? You're letting it go through your ears. You're keeping it in front of you so that you can understand. With every word from God, with every word from His word that you meditate on. At the end of it, God would, one of two things, either give you what to say or instruct you on what to do. See? Because Jesus said, lest they understand with their hearts and turn. Without the turning, so that I should heal them will not happen. Yes, you've got all the understanding, but there is still a part you need to play. And with you meditating in God's word, He'll either give you something to say or give you something to do. And once you are in that position, you put yourself in that position, you are sensitive to Him, He has given you the exact words to say, or He has given you what to do, and you do it, then He does His part so that I should heal them. Or then the life locked in that word that you are working on, it now becomes what you enjoy. And that's the way it's done. And that is the way it's done. Yeah. Gas, petrol prices might be going up. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect you. And pastor has taken, well, God has given, God has went into my sermon and then has spoken it before me. Yeah? Absolutely. This is now when you need to increase your giving. Yeah? Prices are going up. This is not the time to cut back. Yes, economists to say, or Mr. O, calm yourself down. No, this is the time to be sensitive to God. This is the time to be sensitive to Him. Because at the end of the day, when does light shine brighter? When it is, when everything is light, or when everything is dark? Yeah, so it is our time to shine. Yeah, and the only way you would do it effortlessly is when you know how to walk with God's word. Because at the end of the day, it is what He has said that will happen. Irrespective of what's going on around you. And He has positioned us, to be the ones to tell them. They'll be wondering, it's like what's going on in the world is not affecting these people. They now come to you and say, hey, what is? And then you now have the glorious opportunity to let them know it is the Jesus in me. You have a glorious opportunity to minister Jesus to your world around you. But as I said, if it was easy, we would all be doing it. We will all be doing it. There was one week I I was so busy, did not have time. So I took the bin out, I closed the door, and the thought just occurred to me, Tunde, this whole day, you've not found 5 minutes to just stop and spend time with my word. I said, okay. I had to plan lesson planning, cancel. I went and I spent some. Because I appreciate we are all busy. But if you do not have time for God's word, he would listen. it's not personal. He doesn't like you. He does not like you at all. He sees you opening your Bible. He'll remind you of 20 or 200 things you are supposed to be doing. He'll remind you of things that you could use that time. 200 things that you could use that time to be doing instead of opening your Bible to you. Because he sees somebody open his Bible, that's him finished. Because he knows if you agree with what is written, he is finished. He is literally done. That's it. Because Colossians says, having disarmed open, he has nothing against you. The only thing he has against you is what he bombards your mind with. And I do appreciate there are some things he says that that makes God's word look, why am I even doing? Let me run to the bank and let the bank give me this money. Just be still and know. He told Isaac was about to go. Isaac was about to go to Egypt. He said, no, stay here. Stay. And Bible records he sowed. And in that year, he did what? He reaped. In the midst of famine. Yes, he would bombard you with. But God holds the answer. He holds the solution. And we just need to become, professors of how to go to His word and get the life that is His word. And it then becomes yours. And in a world where everything's going up, everything's going through turbulence, you can look to the word and say, okay, He has positioned me still. So I will be still. And I will be okay. Have you learned anything this morning? Praise God. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah.